Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word, Jeremiah chapter 22. We're going to pick it up with verse 20. And, you know, we're dealing here with kings a little bit. The names of these kings is kind of important, like Jeconiah, whom God establishes, Joachim, whom God sets up. And finally, you're going to see him stripped in these first verses back, not Jeconiah, but Coniah, meaning God takes his name away from him. And that's what will happen if you disobey God to a certain point, especially if you're supposed to be in a position of leadership. You're supposed to be allowing God to use you to help God's children. He does not tolerate leaders that mislead people, period. Okay, so having said that, let's get right into it. Chapter 22, we'll pick it up with verse 20 here as our Father continues in this great book of Jeremiah, whom God launches forth with that word of wisdom from our Heavenly Father. Let's go with the first verse, verse 20. Go up to Lebanon and cry, and lift up thy voice in Bashan. You go up where that balm is and where that perfect cedar is, and cry for the passages. For all thy lovers are destroyed. The passage is Nebo, okay, in the manuscripts. And all your allies, all those people you depended on helping you, they faded off into nothingness. In other words, you were supposed to call on God. You were supposed to call on our Father. And you chose rather to lean on man. Do you remember back in 17:5 what I told you to never forget? And 17:5, it's important that you remember that. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You're supposed to keep your mind on the Father, his plan, his promises, and you'll be successful. But what he's saying here, the little allies you depended on, they're nothing, okay? Verse 21. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, when you were doing real good. But thou saidest, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. Just wouldn't listen. Especially, you know, when God's people are being blessed and have plenty, it's very rare they'll turn to God. And he makes light of that in certain places, even in the great song of Moses, calls him Jeshurun. He doesn't like it. You know, if he gives you blessings, and instead of enjoying the blessings and thanking him for it, if you snub him and run off with other worships, then, hey, you leave him high and dry, you don't get away with that. Okay, think about it. You're doing that to Almighty God. You'd be living pretty risky. Verse 22. The wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers, that's to say your allies, shall go into captivity. They're not going to amount to anything. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. There's kind of a double play here in the Hebrew. This wind, a nice dry wind, will burn up all the pastures so your pastor can't feed you anything. Meaning the Word of God or the Spirit that's supposed to feed or be the food that the pastor, the shepherd, feeds the flock, is gone. And not only that, all your allies are gone too. So he makes that pretty plain. You know, in this life without the Word of God, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. I know some of you are aware of that, some of you aren't. Some of you can care less. That's all right. No problem. But, you know, it's good to have sanity, common sense, and to be blessed of Almighty God, for you are His child, to be obedient and have His blessings, rather than to allow the curses of the world to descend upon you, have a miserable existence. The choice is yours. You can choose life, or you can choose the other way. It's up to you. Verse 23, O inhabitant of Lebanon, you that live right there among those fantastic cedars, that makest thy nest in the cedars, how gracious shalt thou be when pains come upon thee, the pain as of a woman in travail. When it comes to that time that we're at the birth of the new age, that means Christ is going to be returning. And you're not even wired in or connected with truth. You're not going to be in good shape. Okay, let's go with the next verse to explain. 24. As I live, saith the Lord. That's emphatic. That means I'm swearing by myself. That's Almighty God, okay? Though Coniah, here he's changed his name. He withdrew his name from Jeconiah. I withdraw my name from him. You got him. All his name is now in the Hebrew tongue is established. But God is removed. In other words, God didn't establish him. Established, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were if he were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. I wouldn't have anything to do with thee. You know, a signet is the king where you make the seal or sign off on something. God said, I wouldn't use him. I withdraw my name from him. I will tell the deeper student, though, that likes to study a little deeper, in the great book of Ezekiel, when you get into the millennium chapters, that Jeconiah, is his full name, is replaced in at the end of the millennium, whereby he is a servant of God. Verse 25, and I will give thee unto the hand of them that seek thy life, they're after you, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, that is to say Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. I'm going to turn you over to them. And it came to pass. All of the sons of Josiah were handed over, even Zedekiah himself. And I think he even had 10 sons or something like somewhere in that number. They were all killed. Why? They didn't count on God. And God had given them every opportunity, and quite frankly, Nebuchadnezzar gave them every opportunity. They choose to go with their little allies instead of God and listening to God and going into captivity as they were supposed to. Verse 26, and I will cast thee out, that's God speaking, I will cast thee out and thy mother that bare thee into another country where ye were not born, and there shall you die. And the queen mother did go. He was Jehoiakim, not Tim, Ken. Well, he was just a lad. He never reached even 20. And the queen mother went with him. Nebuchadnezzar took them into captivity. He never amounted to anything. As God said, I would, if he was a signet of my ring, I wouldn't use him. It is amazing to me that Josiah he was such a good man, a good king, and he accomplished so many wonderful things as far as destroying false worship and idols and so forth, and then to have his family turn out as they did, that is to say the sons, his granddaughters, or great-granddaughters maybe I should say, they were fantastic. Verse 27, but to the land whereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. They're never coming back. You're going to stay in confusion. You're going to stay in Babel. 28, is this man Coniah a despised, broken idol? Question. As far as God was concerned, he was. Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? God sure didn't get any pleasure from him, and that's why God created man, was for his pleasure. Last verse of Revelation chapter 4 will document. Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not. They went right straight into confusion, Babylon, into the land of the Chaldeans, and were never to return. But thank goodness God kept his word that the throne of David would go on forever, and the daughters of Judah carried that forth. For your understanding, Jehoiakim, which the name he started out with, means whom Yah has appointed. Okay. He was legal. He was in the seed line. But then it was changed to Jeconiah, which is to say, whom Yah establishes. And there at the end, God withdrew his name. He said, you just call him Coniah. Leave me out of it. Why? Because he turned his back on God. And that just means established, but by who? By his own mind, only in his dreams. And he ended up as nothing. I think you can take a lesson from that. Our Father wants you to know that the king of Babylon is coming, even in the future, a sense. He expects you to stand against him. That is to say, as it is written in Mark chapter 13, that you are to be delivered up and witnessed against him by the Holy Spirit speaking through you. And by that, you choose life. But not only do you choose life, you choose to help your brethren that the whole world can hear through the Holy Spirit what the Father has to say. Our Father continues, verse 29, O earth, earth, earth. That's emphatic. Hear the word of the Lord. Listen to him. Okay. That's with great emphasis. Verse 30. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. It's just not going to happen. No man. Now, did it say no woman? No, it didn't, because women would, and their offspring would rule again in the male factors. But all these sons, who so miserably failed after such a king as Josiah, that despised idolatry, wanted what was right, had raised these boys right. But boy, giving them a little power, they built fancy houses, and they felt that was, and they enslaved people to build things without paying them properly. How God detests that. He really does. And that's why you see our Father expressing such a strong sentence against this offspring. God does not like leaders, spiritually and are politically kingline, that will not lead fairly and righteously. Chapter 23, verse 1, he continues. Now off of the kings a little bit, we go to the pastors. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. I don't like it. They don't teach my word. All they do is scatter the people. They don't feed them. They don't take care of them. They don't service them. Verse 2, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors, not for, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them with what? Truth, with the word of God. They didn't feed them with the word of God. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. That's why judgment starts at the pulpit. Judgment starts with pastors, with shepherds that are supposed to be feeding the sheep. Feeding what? The word of God. That's the subject, is they don't teach the word of God. They don't teach the truth. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, whereby people hear what God has to say. You know, our Father is very much against someone that would say they have a Bethel, that's a house of God, And in fact, as a prophecy states, it's Beth Aven, which in the Hebrew means it's a house of nothingness, emptiness. I'm not judging houses. You don't have to be a wizard to be able to discern for yourself whether God's word is taught there or it's a whoopee party. Okay. Verse 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Do you know who the remnant is? That's where the election comes from. The remnant is the remnant that has brought the real truth of God's word down from time beginning. And from, if they pass away before that final generation, they are remnant. As Paul would say in Romans chapter 11, even now there is a remnant with us that know the truth, okay? Well, from that remnant comes God's elect. He said, I'm going to gather them out of this mess, those that do know the truth, those that do hear the truth. He's not talking about the pastors that falsely teach here. Got it? Okay. Verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. Feed them what? Truth. God's word. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. They're not going to be confused in Babel or Babylon. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. They won't be lacking for truth because God will instill it, because his word will be taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse, where people know, thus saith the Lord. And that's what's important. You can't call together a congregation, and for what some do with the whoopee here and whoopee, you might as well have a whoopee cushion teaching the bunch, okay, by what is said. That may insult some, but hey, it would be almost a compliment to some. Teach God's word and be blessed. It's that simple. Just really that simple. You know, where did this idea come from that teaching God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse is boring? It is so exciting, so vivacious, so rewarding, that it pleases God and brings his blessings when you choose God instead of man to be blessed by God. How perfect it is. Okay. Hey, our Father is coming to that place where there will be some allowances made, and the remnant shall bring forth that truth. And those that choose to mislead and not teach and not be pastors and not be shepherds, and I'm not judging anyone, but God sure is, okay, he knows. And you know something? So do you. Verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto Jacob, to David, a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Do you know who that was? That was Christ. The word branch is zamak. And zamak is a sprout from the very root itself, the root of God, the only begotten Son. And the branch itself, the mock, is the brightest star in the zodiac. And do you know what sign it's in? It's in Virgo. Do you know who Virgo is? It's the virgin. And that's where this one is coming from, is from that virgin, the Virgin Mary. I'm going to bring forth a king that can't be had. That king, this is why he was also of the tribe of Judah, but he was also of the Levitical priesthood, because Mary was a cousin to Elizabeth, who was a Levite, daughter of Aaron, meaning Mary's mother was also a Levite, even though her father was of Judah. Therefore, the king line and the priest line came together in this one branch, in this one king. He couldn't be had, and he couldn't teach anything but truth, because he was the word in the flesh. He is and still is the living word. Verse 6. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Why? Because he was a savior. And Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And that is to say, Yahweh Zidkenu. Yahweh Zidkenu. Okay. He can do nothing but right. He would have nothing to do with anyone that would not be other than right in representing him. Therefore, we have this promise, and that promise came forth, as you all well know, in the birth of the only begotten. Verse 7. I want to say, and insert, man just had to have them a king. Okay. Father was their king already. But they had to have something they could see and touch. They just had to have a man. And unfortunately, man is not perfect. So here we have God himself, Emmanuel, God with us as king. And therefore, that's how salvation came to be. You can count on him. He was our king coming out the gate. It's just that man chose otherwise. Isn't it terrible that man is so often wrong? I'm talking about majority. And that's why God loves so much those that are right, that do what's right, or at least try to. And so it is. Let's go with the next verse. Verse 7. Therefore, behold, you look here. The days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. You know, they're going to almost stop talking about that. Verse 8. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. That is to say, in the land that I have given them. That time is coming, and it is yet future. But God will gather back again his own. And that is led by who? By Jesus Christ, by God himself. Verse 9, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. It does. It breaks our Father's heart. Many people say, well, does the Lord have emotions? He says, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. Those I sent that are supposed to do my bidding, they break my heart. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man. And, of course, this is Jeremiah speaking, but. And like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. I don't understand why. Why? Because the prophets at this time were saying, you know, the so-called preachers. That's why I said they were having a whoopee party. You don't have to worry. You don't have to read God's word. You're going to be gone. It's not going to happen. The king of Babylon's not coming. Well, it's a strange thing to me that the book of Revelation declares that he shall. But you don't have to understand it. You know, you get one of these fakos, and I probably shouldn't say that, but it's false, that tells you you don't have to worry. Don't you think you would be better off listening to God, your Father? And he's against people like that, big time. And you're putting yourself in that same crowd? Willingly? Well, I just don't want to have to study. If they say I don't have to learn God's word, I'm out of here. Oh, where did you hear that? Well, I heard it from a man. What did God tell you about listening to man? You check out this man or any man. You check them out in the word of God. And you follow the teachings of your Father, Almighty God. And you'd be very, I cannot imagine someone following a man and believing him that would say, you don't have to listen to God. I would think maybe that they weren't the sharpest knife in the drawer. I really, I would doubt very seriously someone's ability to think that would listen to man instead of God. You see, he wrote this letter to you personally. You're his child. It is called his letter to you. And he expects you to read it and listen to him, not some windbag, okay, that would mislead you. He says here, with Jeremiah and the feelings, emotions going all the way to the Father, it breaks my heart to see the people misled. Verse 10, for the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, the cursings, the land mourneth, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. It's these false prophets just destroy everything. And again, remember back to 17:5, woe to those that put their trust in a man instead of the Lord. This is where it gets you, friend. And you better wake up to that fact, and you better love your Father. And, you know, in as much as he controls things, I would much rather be pleasing to him than to be a curse to him. You know, that's pretty heavy stuff, but that's his saying, not mine. Verse 11, for both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house, that's God's house, have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. It's, in other words, my house is Bethel, house of God. It's vain because they turn it into Bethaben, a house of nothing, void, emptiness. You're not going to learn anything there. Well, you're going to fly away. You don't have to learn anything. You would believe that when God instructs you what you're supposed to do, even through basically hour by hour, in the events that consummate the end of this age, step by step, trump by trump, seal by seal, vow by vow. And you want to listen to somebody that says you're out of here? It doesn't apply to you? Well, let me ask you something. If you're people of God, why do you think it doesn't apply to you? Because, you see, that's who he wrote it to, was his people. Now, if you're going to flit off somewhere else, whose people are you? And who do you belong to? Because it's not in God's word. You need to think about it, all right? God says, both prophet and priest, they're profane. Didn't say they were righteous. Verse 12, wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. The slippery slope hits them. They shall be driven on and fall therein. It's their slippery slope, and they're going to slide right off into it. You know who we're talking about here? Priests and prophets that don't teach God's word. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. What is the year of their visitation? The year that Christ himself, that's the subject back from verse 6, a King of kings, a Lord of lords, the branch, that is to say, the Lord our righteousness visits. And he's going to, I don't know, where are you going to be? Have you thought about it? Which side do you wish to be on? God's word, the truth? Or do you want to be with a bunch of profane babblers? It's up to you. It's your choice. God said, I give you two ways. Verse 13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. This is the 10 tribes that went north, okay, the house of Israel here, not Judah, the house of Israel. I've seen folly there. The king made two golden calves and said, worship them. Too far to go to Jerusalem and worship God. Seen folly there. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. The people that were supposed to be guiding them, shepherding them, leading them, led them to Babel, to Baal, Baal worship. And ultimately, in the end, that means worshiping Antichrist because of ignorance from God's word, telling people they don't have to study God's word, you're going to be gone. All of a sudden, the supernatural king of Babylon shows up, claiming to be Jesus, and they jump in bed with him. Where does that leave them for a virgin bride as far as the true Christ is concerned? In bad shape. Well, think about it, my friend. God, that's not my teaching. That's Christ's teachings. When he said in Mark 13, woe to those, and Matthew 24, woe to those that are with child when I return. It's talking about a spiritual impregnation. You're supposed to be virgin spiritually waiting for the true Christ. And here, they've already wed this imitator in ignorance. Because of what? The shepherds didn't teach, didn't warn. You can understand why it breaks God's heart. Why Baal worship bothers him. Because he's the creator of all. Verse 14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness, that they are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Seems like they're just as bad. They're supposed to be that is natural, but they have perverted themselves as they did in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, look around you today. Look around you. You see courts trying to remove God's name from our vocabulary, basically, or from our living. That is natural. That he from whom our blessings flow. And it breaks God's heart. And you know what is real sad? It would seem some don't get away with it, but they want to reward perversion. Make it up number one, box office stuff. You know, it won't fly. But they don't know it. Where did they come from? Where did people that go against God to the point that they want to honor perversion, where did they come from? Who are they? And we certainly know they're not from God, don't we? We certainly know they're not righteous. So you see, God said this whole thing is just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's also visiting the coming of that branch. You know, sometimes, have you ever heard of someone using a little branch? You know, mama said, go get me a peach limb. We're going to go to the woodshed here a little bit with the branch. Well, the branch is coming, and there's a lot of people going to go to the woodshed if you're not careful. Don't miss the rest of this chapter. It's very educational, very timely, and it will teach you a great deal about the emotions of our Father and how he feels about people saying, well, when is that God's going to put on us today? God said, I don't put anything on you. You bring it on yourself. Don't miss it. Rest of this chapter. Okay, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books, you find the hidden secrets, hidden from most people's eyes, that the study in the Hebrew and the Chaldee that is given in these particular books will teach you how that the priesthood itself became polluted during this period of time. This is to say about 400 years before Christ walked the earth to the time that he did walk, instructing you very wisely, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them. And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. Hey, if the Spirit moves, you got a question, you share it, won't you? And please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, religion, or organization. Let's don't judge people. I think you could tell from listening to our Father, he is a very capable judge.
And nobody hides anything from him. If you think that you hide your ways from him, you are sadly mistaken. He observes everything. You know, he'll make that very clear in the next lecture also, that you can't go anywhere that he's not aware of what's happening. Okay, hey, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, the announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Got a prayer request? We can do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He loves you. He may not love what you're doing, but he sure loves you. Why? You're his child. He's the nearest relative you have. He's the father of your being. You want to let him know you love him because that's what he wants from you. Do it. Heavenly Father, around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and questions. We're going to go with Clary in South Clara in South Carolina. I'm writing to ask, can I be in the number if I try with all my heart and love Christ and live the best life I can, would God be pleased? It seems the harder I try, the harder I fall. Welcome to the club. It's called humanity. All humans, sooner or later, we fall. We mess up. Okay. But how many times did Jesus say forgive somebody that's really trying? 7 times 70, 490 times a day. You know, if they truly, honestly repent, give them another chance. That's the beauty of Christianity. Of course you can. You know, every time you repent and come back after that fall, he's going to take you in his arms, and he's going to welcome you back home with love and understanding, and probably say, let's do a little better this time, but go for it. Okay. You're doing good. Don't you... What you're doing, you're not forgiving yourself for some things. And, darling, if you don't forgive yourself, God can't forgive you either. So you get after it. You're a beautiful daughter of God. Now, you forgive yourself for any shortcoming and thank him. And you know why? Because once you repent to him, he said, don't ever bring that up to me again. Because it's erased. It's gone. And when you bring it back up, saying, I don't know if I can, it insults him. You're not doing him any favors. So thinking that it is erased and gone, and you've got a clean start. Every time, Lois from California, when Jacob wrestled with God's angel, could this also be an example of how we should hang in there and never give up, no matter how hard things get? And thank you, I return that love. Yes, of course it can. God doesn't like quitters. And I have a method of operation, and that is I try anything 3 times. The first time I pray about it, do the best I can in planning, go for it. If it fails, like I say, God doesn't like a quitter. So I'll look, why did it fail? And fix those problems, put it all together again, pray about it, and turn it loose. Not turn it loose, but work at it. Okay. And if it fails that time, then I begin to get a little wondering, is this what Father really wants me to do? Because Father also sends messages, you know, if you came up with some dumb idea he doesn't want you to do, pretty soon he's going to say, it's a failure. Okay, then you can quit. But the third time, I put up what I call a fleece, okay, like Gideon did, you know. I'll say, okay, Lord, this is it. If it doesn't go this time, I've done my best, then I know you want me to plan another way. Don't be a quitter. Plan another way totally, okay. That always works real good. So hang tough. And never be a quitter. Roxanne from Nevada. I became a widow in 1005. I have returned to college. Is it wrong to study books other than God's Word? No, of course not. You know, it's the better we understand the world, the more we can help it, all right? Please explain the 4 hidden dynasties. Thank you for teaching God's Word. Roxanne from Nevada, you are so welcome. The 4 hidden dynasties mentioned in the first chapter of Zacharias, the minor prophet, you will find these hidden dynasties that Satan utilizes to gain ground, especially in this generation. And they happen to be political, educational, financial, and last but not least, religion. Okay, Satan will use all of those things. And you might say, well, why would Satan use religion? He likes that better than anywhere. As long as he can get false pastors and shepherds in a position to mislead God's children, he feels like he's doing real good, because it is religion, that fourth dynasty, that will draw people to him thinking he's Christ in ignorance. Carolyn from Indiana, thank you and your family. You are so welcome. My question is, in the first earth age, I assume that all the prehistoric animals were of flesh and that we were on this earth in our spiritual bodies. Were we eating the flesh of the animals in the first earth age? Most likely, probably not, because angels have a food called manna. It is a food prepared by God that gives you health and no illnesses. And so it will be. You must remember that the animal kingdom itself will all be spiritual also, in the dimension that we will be going, okay? Elizabeth from Wisconsin, my question is this. I don't have any great gift for teaching, preaching, or whatever, so I've been putting scripture verses on the commandments on everything I mail or pass to people, praying it will touch someone. Well, that's good. But, hon, your main gift could be standing against the false Messiah and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you, because we're preparing for that appearance. And that is your main thing. But this is a good, righteous work. And as long as God leads you in it, you keep up the good work. I never try to tell anybody what their gift is. I can see gifts. And if someone were to ask, perhaps I would give my opinion. But God gives the gifts, and he gives them without repentance, meaning once he hangs you with gifts, you got them. So you hang in there tough, all right? But know that your main gift is serving God against the false Messiah, okay, as a witness. Ed from Florida. To the teacher, in Mark chapter 13, verse 23, Jesus said, I have told you all things. Question, I wonder why he never, ever even hinted, much less mentioned, anything like rapture. Is it possible there is no such thing? Godspeed, Ed from Florida. Very good, Ed. Very good. It is true. Jesus never mentioned the rapture. Jesus did instruct us that we would escape the hour of temptation, and a lot of people try to write rapture in that. It won't fly. That's ignorant. To escape the hour of temptation, what is that hour? Well, it's the hour mentioned in Revelation chapter 17 that the Antichrist is here with us. We don't find him tempting. So the hour of temptation doesn't bother. The reason we escape it is because we abhor him. And we're ready to do battle against him, as the Father instructs, okay? So, no, you're right. Jesus never mentioned any flyaway doctrine. The first one taken from the field was taken by Satan. So you sure don't want to fly in that direction. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Thanks for the comment. Wilma from Nevada. Where in the Bible can I find that it's saying Christ wants you to be found in the field working when he returns? Matthew 24, verses 45 and 46. And he even tells you they're going to be doing just like they were in the days of Noah. They're going to be giving and taking in marriage in that same chapter, Matthew 24. To who? The fallen angels. And he said, blessed are those that I find still working and doing my business instead of being deceived by that false one. Matthew 24, verses 45 and 46. You'll find the same thing basically in Luke 21 and in Mark chapter 13. Semper Fi from Bill from Georgia, and Semper Fi in return. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. and he has us and our underlined. What are the definitions of the word in red? I have a Strong's Concordance, and when I looked up these words, they had no number to look up the definition. My concordance said, see preface. I went to preface. There was no explanation there. Okay, go. Make a note, okay? Hebrew Dictionary 587. 587. Simplify. You'll love it. That'll get you a good start. 587. And one Marine to another, you'll enjoy. Michael from Florida, question for you. Can the races have actually come as a result of the people all coming together at the Tower of Babel when God scattered them abroad from thence throughout the face of the world and caused confusion in Genesis 11, 7 through 9? No. All he did was busted up their languages where they couldn't communicate real good. Don't ever try to change the word of God. He created the races on the sixth day. He rested the seventh, and on the eighth day, he created Eth Ha'adam. Okay. It's a different man through which Christ would come. But he created all the races on the sixth day. He made some of them fishers. He made some of them hunters. But he didn't have a farmer, a husbandman. But he wanted one that through which Christ would come. So he created them on the sixth day, the races, and you know something? The last verse of chapter 1, he looked and it was good. He was happy with the way he had created man. And you know something? He still is to this day, and he doesn't like anybody mixing all that up. Mariana from Pennsylvania, I've been watching your program for about a year. Does one win in an extreme abusive control to the point of blackmail type relationships give this to God only? How long does one have to love this person and turn the other cheek? When, if ever, may we fight back? Where may I find the answer to this in the Bible? I love my son and my grandchildren. Well, son, you're talking about family here. Family is always precious, and I see that they have pretty well taken everything you've got, but don't send money to TV ministries that do not teach you, okay? And I see that you make a point that you do. You give offerings where you're taught the Word of God, okay? But set the example for your family. Don't preach at them. Don't nag at them about God's Word, okay? Just be your own sweet, loving self, a daughter of Almighty God, and they will be drawn to that, and they will love you. I do not believe in allowing even children to abuse me. It's one thing to love, but you have to have discipline in a family. So keep that line also. When you set that example, they're going to treat you real good. You go for it. But don't try to lead them, guide them, or force them. Love must come from within each entity and move outward. You can't demand it or anything. Let it be the same with you. Don't let them blackmail you or anything of that nature. Kathleen from Canada. I've been watching your program now for about a month, off and on, and I heard you say that there is no rapture. What do you mean when you say this? We believe that Satan is coming first, but my parents and I always believe that our Lord is coming back twice. Why do you think that? It's not written. It's not biblical. It's wrong, and it will end you up worshiping Antichrist. Nowhere is it written. He does not come until... Let's find the verse. Let's document this, because your soul depends on it, whether you choose life or death. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in an instant, at the last trump, that is the farthest out, then Christ returns, and not until. All you're talking about is and your family is deceived by is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and you're not even reading the subject. The subject begins in verse 13, which says, I want to talk to you. I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen. So don't you be ignorant like the heathen. I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen, but if you believe Christ has risen from the dead, then you better know that all those that sleep in him have risen also. They're not out here in some hole in the ground, okay? They're already gone. They've already raptured. They're out of here. They're gone, long gone. They're with him. And then it continues on, he will not return until the seventh trump, and then all of us that remain will be changed into spiritual bodies. But then it says there's no way that we which are alive and remain can proceed or go first before the dead. Why? They're already gone. That's what verse 13 declared. That's the subject, okay? So, Kathleen, you need to do some study, and you need to do it real bad. You've been listening to traditions of man, and you need to listen to God's word, not man's traditions that make void the word of God. Elaine from Florida, were there children in the first earth age? Everybody was a child of God. Everybody, okay? They were adult, young adult. Have you ever heard an angel described any other way? That's a child of God in the spiritual body. They're young. Why? Because they don't age. They could be a million years old, and they would still look young, but they are adult. That's the way God created us. Lewis from New Jersey. What will happen to us Christians during the tribulation? What will happen to us? We're going to be busy doing God's work. Which tribulation, though? You just say tribulation. Which tribulation are you talking about? There's two of them. The first tribulation is of Antichrist. The second tribulation of his Christ. The first tribulation, Satan's going to be kneeling at you. He will be. He'll be wanting you to be delivered up so that he can convert you to him, letting you know that you've been wrong all along, and he can convert you. And that's when the Holy Spirit wants to speak through you. And the second tribulation, of course, is when Christ returns. And you don't have to, what happens to Christians then? You feel the warm glow of the Holy Spirit, which crushes everything that's evil. So you want to make sure you're not evil, or you'd be crushed too. Otherwise, it's love, okay? A warning. Alan from Alabama, the Bible speaks of an aircraft. Would you explain? The aircraft, the Bible speaks of a vehicle, and we'll call it an aircraft. It's a craft that flies, okay, in the air. It's described by Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 1. And Ezekiel is just, I mean, he's a country boy, so to speak. And he looks, and here the word amber in English, in the Hebrew, is highly polished bronze. He said, I saw this circular vehicle that was highly polished bronze. And he said, it had windows in it. And I could see people in that window. And the wheels weren't by its side. You see, all he'd ever seen is an ox cart with wheels rolled on the ground. He said, these wheels were like this. And he said, they looked not where they went. Meaning, if you're riding a donkey and you're going to turn this way, his head goes this way and he turns this way. Okay. He said, this thing just goes where it wants without looking. And he said, every time it turns, the people inside turn. You know, can you imagine a 747 turning and the people keep going straight, you know? Anyway, he just, for someone that had never seen anything other than an ox cart, he did a fantastic job describing it in that first chapter of Ezekiel. And God's ark was aboard the vehicle, okay, his altar, rather. That's what makes it beautiful. Linda from West Virginia. Let's see here. In the Mark of the Beast tape, in your forehead and not the work of your hand, mark of, and the mark on your hand, how can they tell who or what cannot buy or sell. How can they tell who buys or sells? What is the, because you have to pay allegiance to the government, the one world system. You have to worship Satan to get the number to buy, okay, or the currency to buy. We're not going to do it, okay. And the mark in the hand simply means those that are doing Satan's work. It's just like Jesus would teach in Mark 13, woe to those that are with child and that give suck at that time, means nurses along Satan's work, spiritually speaking. It means your little old hands, well, let me be, preacher, let me just do this work here in the church, okay? They're going to be falling over each other to do Satan's work for him, okay? So, bad choice, okay? But you have to be deceived in your forehead. What's in your forehead? Your brain, you got to use it, okay? We don't hanky around with lies, and Satan isn't nothing but a big lie coming out the gate. Charles from South Carolina. When Jesus comes back, we are all changed into a spiritual body. What happens to our flesh body? I'm sure I heard you say that we go back to what we came from, dirt. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 will describe that. That's exactly what happens. It goes back to dirt. At the same time, we go to a different dimension, and that has a lot of beauty and understanding and answering, okay? And I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love y'all. Why? Because you enjoy studying our Father's letter that he's written to you. But what's most important, not that it makes my day, it makes his. And when you make his day, he's going to bless you. He sure is, in a big way, all right? So you let him know you love him. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? But there's one thing that's most important, and that's this, that you set aside a little time each day and get into his word. Stay in his word. Every day in, it's a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Rabbit, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Rabbit, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast?